Hi, this is Randy Wimmer, and welcome back to the Entrepreneur Sound Off podcast. Today's topic is the result of a question that I get a lot of times, and that is Randy, what's really the difference between a prime contract and a subcontract in the federal government market space? Believe me, there's a lot of difference, but there's a lot of similarities as well. So that's what today's topic is, and I'm going to set the foundation about as simply as I can. There are only two ways to make a dollar in the federal government contracting industry. Now, you will have people talk all day long about, you know, this, that, and the other, but it all comes down to basically two ways to make a buck. The first one is that you are the prime bidder and you bid on a prime contract and you have the highest score proposal. You win and you have a prime contract with the government. The second way is to get on a bid team and help support your prime bidder with the effort. And if they win, then you win. And that teaming agreement turned basically to a subcontract with Workshare. And that's the second way you can make a buck at this industry. Everything, and I do mean everything that you do in this industry should be pointed to having success in one and preferably both of these categories. Well, to help you decide where you want to put your focus, what are the pros and cons about having a prime contract? Well, some of the pros are is that you control the profitability. The contract is with you. Prime contracts also give you a ton more equity in your company. They're very valuable. You own the contract. The contract is not with anybody else but you and the government. Prime contract past performances carry more weight and they make your other bids more competitive because now you can cite prime contract past performance, and that is a lot more significant than subcontract. And you also control the relationship with the customer. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is. And the reason why I say that is if you're a sub on a contract, your prime is going to be very protective of their relationship with the customer. You will never speak, you know, directly with a government decision maker unless it's through the prime. And you'll want to do the same thing when you're the prime. You're not going to want one of your subs going around, you know, around you to talk to the customer and, you know, establishing that relationship and impressing them, getting those insights and becoming the trusted entity with that relationship and kind of cutting you out of the picture. And then for subsequent bids, they got all the secret sauce. They got all the knowledge. They got all the information and they have a competitive advantage and you don't. Now, if you look at the cons, now let's see what some of the cons are. Well, in order to bid, you've got to be 100% eligible or qualified to bid as a prime. And the big two requirements that preclude a lot of small businesses from being able to immediately jump in to that prime contracting realm is you need to have a facility security clearance, you need to have DCAA auditable cost accounting system, and you really need to have past performances. Now, theoretically, you could bid as a small business and use your personal experiences as a past performance, but basically that gets you not observed for the most part. That gives you a neutral score. You know, when you're a small business and you can't really provide past performances. And for those of you who've ever been in the military, getting a not observed fitness report will never make you competitive against people who have fitness reports that are observed and that states that they walk on water. You'll never beat those people to get that promotion or to get that job placement or that next set of, you know, high impact orders. So not observed is not good. So you want to avoid that. The other thing is that most of the burden of writing the proposal falls squarely on your shoulders because it's your proposal. You're the prime bidder and it's your proposal. You're the one running the show and you're the one who's submitting it and you're the one who's going to be signing it when everything is said and done. And what does that mean? you can't walk away from it. If you walk away from a prime contract, you're out of business. It's just that simple. You really are. You will be blacklisted. You will never, ever, ever be able to do business in this industry again. Now, as a sub, you know, that's not the case. If for whatever reason you can't find your people, you know, that you stated that you were going to fail, you could go to the prime and say, look, you know, this has ended up being a lot more work, and we're not able to price the people at the rates that we thought we were going to. And in fact, you know, we're walking away from this. Good luck. And, you know, there's no harm, no foul. Now, when you're the prime and somebody does that to you, you got to be able to pick up the water and run with it. You're the one who's got to plug those holes when your subs kind of fall through. That's never a good thing. So that's what you're taking on when you're taking on being a prime contractor. So the very first thing you need to know is that you're taking on all the risk. High risk, high reward. So that's what it takes to become, you know, a prime contractor. You got to be willing to step up to those risks. You have to have all of the credentials and qualifications necessary to bid. You're in it to the very end, and it doesn't matter if you're losing money on it. If you're losing money on this contract, you're still under contract to perform. So guess what? You're going into debt on this one, because if you walk away, you're pretty much out of business. But if you are successful in that prime contract, wow, you're probably going to be making a lot of profit on it, because you get to control that. And we'll get to how to squeeze out profit out on a contract, you know, down the road. But you'll be making by far the most profit on that effort, you know, between you and your subs. The second thing is not only will you be making profit off that contract, but the contract itself has value. It has a lot of value, in fact. I would dare say that it's probably more valuable than the profit that you're making. And the reason why I say that is because that's equity. That is an asset that your company has. And we're going to talk about this later on, but what is the value of a company? Well, the most common way to perform a valuation of a federal government contracting company is to take their EBITDA, which is earning before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. Now, for 99% of the small businesses out there, that's profit. Just profit. You know, so it's your profit times something called a multiplier. So, that multiplier in our industry could be anything from 3 to 13, you know, for most small businesses. It could be a little bit higher, but it's usually somewhere in between there. When I sold my company, I was hovering around 6%, maybe 6 to 7%. And so the question is what determines your multiplier? It's your contracts. It's your assets. You know, if you've got great contracts, prime contracts with interesting customers, you know, or hard to find markets, hard to penetrate markets, your multiplier is going to be really high. So it's your contracts, your customers, what you're doing on those customers, on those contracts, that's really going to drive your multiplier. So profit is not nearly as important as your multiplier. For example, that $1 of profit, if it's on a subcontract supporting Department of Interior doing administrative support services, guess what that's going to be? That's going to be a multiplier of 3. So if you were to go to sell your company, that $1 profit, you know, in a valuation would be $3. If that same contract was in the, let's say, the intelligence community doing something a little bit higher end, maybe you're kind of broaching that area with cybersecurity, and hey, God forbid, let's say it's not even a small business set aside. Let's say it's a full and open bid. Now that 3 multiplier just jumped up to about a 13 plus. So that's the importance. That's the value of having prime contracts. Now, I could have thrown up here a subcontract one, but it's the exact opposite. Whatever a prime contract is, the subcontract is the exact opposite. So what is a subcontract? Well, So let's look at the pros of a prime contract versus subcontract. Well, on a subcontract, you do not control your profitability. The prime does. A subcontract does not really add that much equity to your company, and here's why. Your prime contractor can terminate your subcontract at any time that they wish. And you have very, very, very limited legal resources. And here's why I say that. The government can't hold your prime contractor accountable to deliver if they force them to abide by their subcontracts. And what I mean by that is the prime will always say, like saying, we need to get rid of that subcontractor in order to be able to deliver at the quality that you mandate. And if the government could never go back, pretty much any branch of the government, you can't go back and say, no, you must keep that subcontractor, even though that you wish to get rid of them to better comply with our contract. They'll never do that. Never, 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 never do that. So it's subcontracts. The only thing that's keeping your prime contractor basically from terminating you is their reputation, their credibility. Now, there's been some companies that I've worked with. I'm not going to mention them because over time they've changed their reputation. But there were a couple companies that, they had a difficult time finding partners to work with because they were horrible. You know, they would burn them in a heartbeat. And over time that came back and it started biting them. And you could see that this company started to had declining revenues, declining everything. And finally, under new leadership, they turned it around and, now they're a top tier company that's well respected and all that good stuff. But there was a time period where they had such a horrible reputation that nobody wanted to touch them with a 10-foot pole, to include the government, because that gets back to the government too. The government, they know right from wrong. They know that, hey, that prime, that big prime bully, they just fired their sub for no reason at all because they want to make more money. Well, let's just make sure that, when the recompete comes around, they're not going to, or, let's think twice before we actually exercise that option here. So that's the reality when it comes to your subcontract. It's essentially worth the paper that it's written on. And I've gone to multiple attorneys, during my time, and you will too as a small business. If you're a small business owner for any period of time, I guarantee you at some point you're going to be burned by your prime contractor. And you're going to pick up the phone, you're going to call an attorney, and you're going to say, what recourses do I have? And if they're a good attorney, they're going to tell you what my attorneys told me, and they said, nothing. Absolutely nothing. We could write scary letters to them and all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, you have limited recourse. Past performances. Well, a subcontract past performance does not carry as much weight as a prime contract one. However, I do have a caveat in there. When you have a prime contract, the government writes your past performance in CPARs. And the government's going to basically write hey, this is what, this company does. They basically do help desk support services. And the core part of their job is that when printers don't work, they tell the users to unplug and then plug back in the printers and it works. I'm kind of making that up a little bit, but you kind of get the point. What I'm trying to say is the government, they have no incentive to embellish what it is that you're doing. None at all. Now, if you're a sub and you have a really good relationship with your prime contractor, you could say, hey, Bob, we're bidding on this thing over here. And is it okay if we list you as a past performance? It's actually a cybersecurity related opportunity. So what we're going to do is we're going to highlight the cybersecurity stuff that we're doing, because part of our help desk duty is to make sure that when people call in with cybersecurity concerns, we address those. We're just going to highlight that. You know, and if you have a good relationship with your prime, and this is an individual, this is, you know, they're going to be sending this to a person. So, and sometimes you have a little bit of wiggle room to determine which person that they're going to send it to, because the government doesn't know. They doesn't know. They don't really know who your boss was, you know, when you were the sub, on the prime contractor side. So, you know, if you can develop that relationship, I had a good relationship with one of my primes. And what I would do is I'd even go, you know, one step further and say, hey, in fact, you know, I don't want to be too precocious here, but I actually even took the liberty to write up a little paragraph that maybe you could include in your evaluation of us. Because I'm just trying to be judicious with your time. And, you know, the guy says, oh, no problem at all. You owe me a beer the next time we see each other. So, in some cases, a subcontract may be just as powerful as, but for different reasons, as a prime contract. But the final pro of a prime contract, this is, you got to be really careful when you're a sub. The relationship belongs to the prime contractor, not the subcontractor. Not the subcontractor at all. So I have seen many a subcontractor fired because they were kind of going around the prime and having, you know, meetings and discussions with the customer. The prime is very, very protective of that relationship. Everything goes through them. So that relationship, now, they will know who you are, obviously, because you're supporting them as a subcontractor. But you're not that trusted entity that's getting the phone call, you know, in the middle of the night and saying, hey, Bob, can you help us out here? We got a real issue. You know, you're not developing that kind of trusted relationship, you know, with them as the sub. Now, the cons for a prime contract happens to be the pros for a subcontract. You may not be 100% eligible or qualified to bid as a prime, but you can as a sub. For example, let's say you don't have a DCAA auditable cost accounting system. No problem at all as a sub. All you got to be able to do is track your time of your employees so you can invoice your prime and be able to pay your people. That is pretty much that simple. Facility security clearance. Your prime, and this is how, you know, 99.9% of small businesses get their facility security clearance. They get it as a sub, and their prime sponsors them for it. And again, we'll talk about this later on because that is a very big deal if you're in the national security space, getting your facility security clearance. So you will be able to participate in a lot more bids very early on as a sub than you ever could as a prime, because you're going to lack these credentials that you need. And the biggest one's going to be past performance. You don't need a single past performance to be able to be picked up as a subcontractor. But here's the reality. Why are they going to give you a teaming agreement? And, you know, I talk about this, you know, in the ISO program at length. You don't have anything that can contribute to their bid effort as a small business partner. You got to find something. And the reason why I say that is because you don't have any past performances. You don't have any deep customer relationship. You don't have these vast capabilities. It's not like you're an IBM or a Lockheed Martin and you got, you know, Skunk Labs, or even AT&T, who now, you know, have Bell Labs. You don't have anything like that where you can say, wow, we got all this, you know, resources that we can tap in. You don't have any of that. None. So I tell people, you got to have something to be able to approach a prime bidder and say, we can add value to your bid. And, you know, I've been in this industry for a couple decades. The only or the best way that I know of to do that, the easiest way, is to get ISO certifications, you know, and present that to your prime bidders. And that does a lot of different things. The very first thing that it does is it gives you credibility of being a very mature small business. Small businesses are known to be inherently risky, you know, and that kind of helps you out there. The other thing is that If you're bringing a credential to the table, then the entire bid team gets to take credit for it. Let's say you're ISO 27001 Information Security Management System certified. Now, the entire bid team, you know, the entire proposal could say that one of the differentiators that your team has over the other one is that you know how to protect information because of your team's ISO 27001 certification. So that helps out quite a bit. You can also participate in multiple bid efforts at the same time because your workload as a sub is not nearly as great as what it would be as a prime contractor. So mostly they may ask you to write a very small section and then participate in the colored team reviews. So we're talking about the red teams, the blue teams, the black hats, the white teams, you know, gold teams, you name it. There's a color for everything. And again, we'll discuss that later on. And being able to participate effectively and add value on those reviews, that is more important than performing on your contracts. Here's why. The people who are going to bring you on these bid teams, they don't care really how you perform on the contracts after they win it. That's somebody else's problem. The people who are going to decide to bring you on their bid effort, they're the ones who get their bonuses by winning the contracts, not executing them. So if you can add value to these color team reviews to where those executives on the prime contractor side believe that you add value and contribute to their success and their win and their bonus plans, guess what? You're going to be picked up for a lot of bids as a teaming partner. The other thing is you get a get out of jail free card as a sub. Let's just say that part of your teaming agreement and subcontract is that your rates, that you underestimated what these positions that you're going to get on your subcontract would cost you. So, or you underestimate just how difficult it would be to find these people. And let's say after 2, 3, 4 weeks, you have found anybody that comes close to the rate that you bid. And if you're going to bring on these 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people, you're going to actually be turning a loss on this contract. Now, if you're a 150-person small business and this is just for 2 positions, you're going to ask yourself, well, why am I going to spend this enormous amount of time and accept all the opportunity cost with this excessive recruiting just to be able to lose money on a 2-person subcontract? It's just not worth it. Let's shift our efforts and our resources to going after something else. Maybe it's that next prime bid that's coming down the pike. So you can walk away when you're a subcontractor. Now, you may be burning a bridge with a particular prime bidder, but that's just one company out of thousands, you know, if not tens of thousands of companies in this industry. So it's less risky. And that's the difference between a prime contract and a subcontract. So just to kind of go back a little bit, there's only 2 ways to make a buck in this industry. You're either going to have to make that dollar bill as a prime contractor, where you're the one writing the prime proposal, and you're taking on all the risk, but you're getting all the rewards, or you're trying to get on somebody's bid team as a subcontractor or a teaming partner, and you know you don't need to have all the necessary qualifications and credentials to be able to do the work or to even bid on it, because your subcontracts, at the end of the day, the best value that they can add to you is your credential enhancements. Need that facility security clearance? Guess what? Being a subcontractor is probably going to be your way to do that. So even though that you may make a buck or two doing it as a subcontractor, in my opinion, the real reason why you want to be a subcontractor is for market penetration into different markets, getting those corporate credentials that you're going to need, for example, like a facility security clearance, and then customer access. Even though it's very limited, because you know, the prime is the one who protects that. However, you still have people on the deck plates seeing how that company, how that agency operates, the culture, and so on. So, again, the biggest of all big pictures, there's only two ways to make a buck. And every single thing that you do from here on out has got to be aimed to either being a very attractive subcontractor to a prime bidder or demonstrating that you have the corporate maturity, you're sufficiently low risk, and you've got the capabilities to pull off being a prime bidder. Those are the two categories of efforts that you got to focus on. Okay, I hope this helps, and I will see you at the next podcast.